Appreciate the prayer that's gone before. Certainly ask that you continue to pray this morning. I'd like to turn your attention for a short while to Deuteronomy chapter 33, and I would hope in some small way that this might be a message of encouragement to you all here in this place. You know, when I was down in Tennessee, I made the point in conversation at the lunch table that if the minister isn't doing much encouraging and comforting, he's probably not doing much preaching. Because the message that was given to Isaiah was to comfort ye, my people, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. So if the Lord's people are leaving church feeling worse than when they came in, they probably didn't get to hear a whole lot about the Lord's preaching and the good news of the gospel. But I'd like to turn your attention to Deuteronomy chapter 33, and we'll look at verse 25. Deuteronomy 33 and 25. And here we find this is at the end of Moses' life. He is not going to go into the promised land, as we know, because of his transgression against the Lord. And he's now, at the point of his death, called the 12 tribes together, and he's pronouncing a blessing on each one of the 12 tribes. You might remember that Jacob did a very similar thing at the point of his death. Jacob, or Israel, he called his 12 sons together at the point of his death and gave them a blessing as well. And so Moses is doing very similar things here in Deuteronomy 33. But in verse 25, he's particularly speaking to the tribe of Asher, which was the eighth son of Jacob, or Israel. And he says there, "Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be." It's the last half of that verse that I want to pay particular attention to this morning. Even though in the immediate context this was something that was spoken to the tribe of Asher, I think this is something that's equally applicable and should be equally comforting as a hope and a promise of the Lord to all of the Lord's children in this life. Notice these words, "As thy days, so shall thy strength be." I think that's a wonderful promise that we have of the Lord, that as we go through this life, He's going to give us strength here and now to face the challenges that we have. You say, "Well, Brother Nathan, I understand what you're saying, but I don't really see what a great promise this is. I don't understand the big point, perhaps." Well, maybe we miss the big point sometimes, and we miss the grand promises of the Lord because we don't understand our own weakness in this life. Is that a possibility, dear friends, that maybe we miss out on the great promise that the Lord is going to give us His strength in this life? We miss out on that because we think we're able to do it of ourselves. We don't understand that we, in and of ourselves, are weak and frail creatures of the dust. And without the Lord, we could do nothing in this life. Certainly that's something that we need to be made aware of as we live here and seeing the contrast of our weakness and the strength of the Lord. And that's not just true in that area. We understand many things based on contrast, don't we? Even in our natural lives here, I was thinking just the other day about how hot it's been. How hot it's been. I'm a professional weather complainer. That's what I like to do. And I complain about the heat. But you know, when it gets cold, then I complain about the cold. But you know, as I was walking out of the office the other day and just this bright sunshine hit me and the humidity hit me and all that, and I was starting to think about how terrible it is, the thought occurred to me that you never appreciate summer unless you've had to go through winter. If all you ever had was summertime, you would never appreciate the things that summer offers. You would never appreciate the opportunities you have to sit out on the porch swing or to sip some ice-cold tea or even hear the drab noise of the box fan. You know, you wouldn't even just appreciate those mundane things about summer if you never had to go through the contrasting, blistery, cold winter. And the same's true about spring and fall, I suppose. You'd never appreciate how spring brings life with it, how the flowers bloom again, how you can smell them perhaps in the meadows and see the hummingbirds coming back and hear the chirping of the birds in the trees. You wouldn't appreciate all that if you hadn't first been able to see and go through watching the leaves fall from the trees, watching the blooms fall from the flowers and rot and decay before your eyes. You'd never appreciate spring. Or what about Here's another point you might ponder. If you like the ocean, you'd never appreciate the ocean if that's all you ever had, I don't believe. If you lived right there at the ocean and that's all you ever saw day and night, I don't believe you'd appreciate it as much unless you lived in an area where you didn't have the ocean. Or if you had to go through a desert. You know, if you were living a life in an area where you just looked forward and you said, you know, I hope that mirage over there is really not a mirage. I hope that's a body of water because, boy, I need water. Water would be really nice right about now. You know, if you never had to go through something like that or be away from the ocean, you'd never appreciate the ocean. Or you'd never appreciate perhaps even the power of God in creating something like the ocean. Or what about the stars? You stand out at nighttime and look up at the stars. Anybody do that? I like to do that. I like to stand out and look at the stars. I've never been one that's been able to figure out the different constellations. You know, in school they tried to teach us about Orion's belt and the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper. I never could find them. I was terrible at that. But I like to stand out and I like to gaze upon the stars. And I like to call to mind how even the Bible talks about the stars being the finger work of God. But you know, you would never really appreciate the stars for all their worth and for all their beauty if that's all you ever had. If you didn't go through the daytime where the sun has hidden the stars from your eyes, you'd never really appreciate the beauty that they behold. And so we learn to appreciate, we learn to understand certain things by contrast in this life. Certainly that's true with our own sin and the grace of God. You're never going to appreciate the grace of God if you don't first understand that you yourself are a bankrupt sinner and that there would be no hope of you living in heaven except for the grace of God. If you went through this life thinking that you were going to work your way to heaven and that it was by your own merit, you wouldn't appreciate the grace of God because you think, I did it myself. I'm really not that bad of a sinner. But dear friends, when you've made to realize how unworthy you truly are, then you're made to appreciate the grace of God. There's a lot of people in this world, I've said this before, that think grace is cheap. You know, they say, well, I'm saved by grace. All I had to do was this and that. Well, then grace has come cheap to them. But grace is not cheap. Grace is free. And it's only to those that understand truly how bankrupt they are in the sight of God, how all their righteousness is as filthy rags. It's only to those that understand their moral standing before a thrice holy God that appreciate the free grace of God. And so, again, we understand things by contrast. And hopefully we understand this morning that we are weak, that we are frail creatures of the dust. We maybe are made to cry out from time to time, just like the hymn writer did, I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. Or what about David? At one point, he cried out, I am weak, have mercy upon me. In the sixth Psalm. Certainly that's something that we ought to see ourselves crying out this morning. We see our weakness implied, I think, in Scripture. You can go through the Bible and you can see where it talks about the strength of God on many occasions. And I think when it talks about the strength of God, it's also implying the weakness of man. You know, David said in one Psalm that God is my strength. Well, that's a very simple phrase. That's hard to misunderstand. You know what that means? That without God, David would have no strength. That's very easy. God is my strength. He has strength, and it's implied that I am weak. And he cried out on another occasion that the Lord is my strength, and that the path or the way of the Lord is a path of strength. And so we see some of this implied, certainly. We can see that we had no strength when it comes to things of eternal salvation. I've alluded to that already this morning. The Apostle Paul said that when we were without strength, in due time, that's at the right time, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Again, many going in this life trying to establish their own salvation, establish their own righteousness. The Apostle Paul says you actually were without strength, even if you wanted to save yourself, but you didn't. Because you were enemies with God. But even if you had wanted to save yourself and reach towards God, you wouldn't be able to. Because he says, when we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. So certainly we understand our weakness, I hope, this morning when it comes to things of eternal salvation. But in every instance of life, in every area of life, We ought to see ourselves as weak and frail creatures. I was thinking about different ways in which our weakness is displayed. You know, one way that my weakness is displayed is in the duties that I'm called to perform. Maybe it's duties in a natural sense with my family. There's a lot of weakness that I display in being the husband that I should be, or in being the father that I should be. There's a natural weakness that I have too, because Charlie, as you all know, is 18 months old and she never stops. And so there's a natural weakness even there, chasing her around all the time and trying to be a father to her. But there's weaknesses when it comes to my duties towards family and loving my wife and my family the way that I should. Or weaknesses even in the workplace and in terms of business perhaps. But what about our duties to God? Do we not often show weakness in performing our duties to God? I think that we do on a daily basis. Sometimes I look at what the Lord's commanded me to do, and I know what He's commanded me to do, but sometimes I'm just like Gideon. You know, he says, Nathan, you need to do this. And I say, Lord, I'm the least in my father's house. You know, I'm saying, you've got the wrong man. You need to look somewhere else. I'm just not the man for the job. That's what Gideon was telling the Lord. Sometimes I see myself in that. Lord, I know the things you've commanded me to do. I'm just not sure that I'm really up for the task. Or maybe I start the task like Gideon did, and I get so far along, and then I say, well, Lord, you know, I'm really not sure. I'm really not sure about this. Maybe I need another sign, or two signs, or three signs. And I start, again, becoming weak, and I start backpedaling in the duties that the Lord would have me to do. Or sometimes I'm like Peter. Remember, several months ago we mentioned Peter when the Lord told him to cast out into the deep, to launch out into the deep and let down his nets. What was Peter's response? We've toiled all night. We've toiled all night. Haven't you ever felt like that? The Lord's told you to do something and you just say, Lord, you don't understand. I've tried and I've tried and I failed. You don't understand. I know what you're telling me to do, but I have honestly done the best I can. I've toiled all night and it's just come to nothing. I find myself saying that exact same thing many times. Too few times do I actually go on to say what Peter said next. Nevertheless, at thy word I will. That's what Peter said. Yes, we've toiled, but nevertheless. You know, what he's saying is it doesn't matter that I've toiled all night. It doesn't matter that I've tried and failed. I'm putting my reasoning and my logic aside, and I'm doing what you told me to do because you're my master and you told me to do it. That's what he's saying. Nevertheless, at thy will. It doesn't matter the feasibility that you think there is in doing what the Lord says. It doesn't matter the reasoning that your friends and your family may have in doing what the Lord's told you to do. Our response and our mantra always in this life should be, nevertheless, it doesn't matter. Nevertheless, at thy word I will. But how few times do we actually get there? Too many times we stop short and we say, Lord, Master, we've toiled all night. You don't understand. It's just not working out the way it should. But I see my own weakness in performing the duties that the Lord's given me to do. In the pulpit, I see it. And I know that other ministers probably have that same feeling and experience in their life, feeling weak and incapable and sometimes incompetent in fulfilling the duties of the pulpit. But what about in other areas and being a disciple of Christ and the duties that He's given to us, maybe to forgive one another? How many times are we weak in forgiving one another? Or how many times are we willfully weak in forgiving one another? Boy, I love to hold a grudge sometimes. I can hold a grudge better than anybody, but I shouldn't because the Lord's told me to forgive. But yet, how many times am I unwilling or just simply not able to bring myself to the point to do that? Or think I'm not able to bring myself to the point of it? Or what about praying? How often do I neglect the duty of prayer? So many times I sit down to a meal and I eat the meal and I never think to thank the Lord for the meal that I'm about to partake. Or I lay down at night. And before you know it, I've drifted off to sleep and I've woken up the next morning and I forgot to thank the Lord for His grace and for His mercy and for the strength that He gave me that day prior. And I get up and I shave and I shower and I brush my teeth and I go on about my business and I don't pray and say, Lord, bless me today. I offer no prayers of thanksgiving sometimes. We're all weak, at least me. Maybe I don't mean to step on any toes. Let me preach to myself a little this morning. I'm weak when it comes to fulfilling some of the duties that the Lord has given me and denying worldly lust and setting aside those things that so easily beset me and denying myself and picking up the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're weak sometimes in that regard. And so we need to bring ourselves to this point where we can understand, even according to the teachings of Jesus Christ, that without Him or without God, I could do nothing. That's what we need to bring ourselves to understand this morning. Sometimes we see maybe our weakness not just in performing duties that the Lord's given to us to do, or maybe sometimes we see our weakness in suffering. Sometimes we have to go through suffering in this life. We understand that there are trials and tribulations for the people of God. Even as Job said, that the man that's born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. And even as the sparks fly upward, so is man born into trouble. And so it is with us. As we mentioned last week, dark and thorny is the desert through which pilgrims make their way. There's many griefs and sorrows in this life. This world is no friend to the child of grace. And so we're often called upon to suffer in this life, but how many of us really have the patience that we need in those sufferings? I don't. When it comes to suffering, especially in a natural way, and illnesses and so forth, I'm probably the least patient person there is. I suffer from, I think the phrase nowadays is man cold. Have you heard that? Where a guy thinks, you know, he's dying, but all he's got is just a little cold and he's becoming such a big baby. And I say, Tori, will you do this? Tori, will you do that? And, you know, all I've got is just a little sniffle and a cough. You know, I wish I had the patience that even my wife or even other women that I know have displayed in their lives. I've sit at the beds of those that have really faced great infirmities in life, and I've thought to myself, I wish I had their patience. I wish I had their resolve that they had while they go through this. You know, one minister said, it's one thing to talk about the doctor's knife, and it's another thing to go under it. You know, that's very true, isn't it? We sit around and we talk about, oh, it's no big deal, it's nothing major, but when it happens to you, then it's major, isn't it? And so we need more strength in suffering, more patience in suffering. What about the weakness that we display in making progress in our path of discipleship? Anybody weak in that? You say, Brother Nathan, what do you mean? Well, how many times have you seen a valiant soldier of the cross and said, I wish I could be like that person. I wish I could be like so-and-so over there. Or you read in Hebrews in the Hall of Faith about all the grand men and women of God and the things that they endured as strong disciples and followers, and you say, I just wish I could be like them. And we often sing that song, I want to love Him more. I do. We say, draw me nearer. You say, I want to grow in grace and in knowledge. I want to progress. And it feels like, yes, when you come to church and you hear the gospel proclaimed, you walk out the back door and you say, today's the day. I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to start living the straight and narrow. Nothing's going to get in my way. I'm going to lay aside all the weights and the sins and all those things that so easily beset me. And you're just ready to accomplish life as a strong follower of Jesus Christ. And then you get in the car and you head home, and before you know it, you're honking your horn and you're waving people over and you're saying, what's the matter with that guy? Doesn't he know how to drive? And you're angry. Or you say something you shouldn't say to maybe a passenger in your car. Or before you know it, something happens and you've just fallen from that place of progress that you had so wished yourself to be in. We find our weakness even in times of that, I believe. Oh, how we would try more and more to progress in this life. What about the weaknesses that we possess sometimes in temptation? In temptation. I've seen a lot of strong, valiant soldiers of the cross, men and women of Zion. They've stood as strong and mighty trees when it comes to things like duty, when it comes to things like suffering, when it comes to things like progress. But then, oh, just the right temptation comes along and they fall. Hasn't that happened? It's happened to me before. We're all weak when it comes to matters of temptation. And we're all tempted. There's nobody that's above the tempting of Satan. You say, Brother Nathan, I've never been tempted. Then you need to wake up, because Satan has and Satan will continue to tempt you all the days of your life. You say, no, I've never felt the tempting of Satan. I don't believe he would tempt me at all. Dear friends, I'm reminded that he tempted our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one that could speak the very word and destroy him in an instant. He was so bold to even try that. What makes me think he wouldn't tempt little old Nathan Meeks as he goes through this world? We're all tempted of Satan. In fact, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, he writes about the common temptation that is common to all men. We're all tempted. None of us are above the tempting of the devil. And Satan is a master at tempting, isn't he? He absolutely is. He has devices. He has wiles that we know nothing about. And he is a great master at tempting the Lord's people. He knows perhaps not the hearts of man like the Lord knows the hearts of man. I believe that's a sole prerogative of the Lord, to search and to know the entire hearts of man. But I think Satan knows enough to tempt you. I think he knows some of your weaknesses, the things that you desire. He's never going to tempt you with something you don't want. He's going to tempt you with something you do want. Otherwise, what would be the point in tempting? But we're all tempted of Satan, and we all have those areas of weakness. We all have those Achilles heels, if you know what I mean. You remember that old myth and legend where Achilles was dipped into the river and everything was dipped but his heel. And so when the arrow hit him in his heel, then he died. But anywhere else, he was indestructible. Well, we're all similar to that, perhaps. We all have our areas of weakness that I believe that Satan knows. And I think that's why it's very important this morning that we strive to always put on the whole armor of God, that we would be protected across our whole body in all the areas of our weakness, that we would put on that all-sufficient armor that the Lord has given to us, continuing to march forward in this army of the Lord. But Satan, he can tempt you. He's a master at tempting you, and he tempts in different ways, perhaps. You know, there's some people that may not be tempted with wine and drunkenness. Some people just can't be tempted along those lines. You may sit a glass of wine, it may be the rarest wine on this earth. You may sit it in front of somebody and they say, no, no thanks, it looks nice, but I really don't want it. Some people just can't be tempted with wine or drunkenness. But maybe they can be tempted with other things like lust of the flesh. Or maybe they can be tempted with doing that which is not proper in the sight of God, to go after profits in this life, or something along those lines. Some kind of self-advancement, if you will. Or maybe they're not tempted with any of those things. Maybe they're just tempted with anger and malice and envy. Those are all things that we can be tempted. And so I think we need to understand this morning again, in a way of contrast, our weakness. Yes, we have a weakness, whether it's in duty or suffering or progress or temptation. But we understand this morning that even though we are weak, we have a great promise. We're not without a hope. We're not without a consolation in this life. The Lord has said, notice these words, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. So we've seen the weakness of man. Let's talk about the promise then that we have. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. Now, when I look at those words, I see a guaranteed promise. I see a guaranteed promise. Notice the word shall. So shall thy strength be. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. There's nothing in here that would undo those words. We recognize that in other places of Scripture, of course, and we rejoice in the shalls of the Bible. Well, this is one that we can rejoice in. This is a guaranteed promise of the Lord. And it's guaranteed because it draws itself from the faithfulness of God and from the omnipotence of God. It's been said that there's never been a check written against the faithfulness or the omnipotence of God that God could not cash. I think that's very true this morning. If God has told you He's going to do something, He will do it. You might as well take it to the bank. It's as good as done, because He is faithful that has promised. He'll never go back on His word. He's faithful that has promised. You know, it's very different from men, even myself included. I would hope that I would never purposely deceive somebody in this life. I'm certainly capable of it, and I'm sure I have done it in the past. They come forth speaking lies as soon as they be born. That's what we're told about men. And so I would hope that that wouldn't be the case, but I'm certainly capable of it. But even if that wasn't the case, sometimes I may make promises that even under the best intentions, I'm not able to fulfill. Sometimes things just happen and they just can't be as I promised they would be. David said the faithful fail from among the children of men. That's not true with God. He is faithful, that is promised. If he's told you you're going to have his strength, guess what, dear friends? You're going to have his strength. And it's based, too, upon the omnipotence of God. I'm talking to you this morning about a God that has all power and all strength. And that's what this promise is based upon. Understand that this morning, that there is nothing too hard for the Lord. The one that opened up barren wombs, the one that was able to part the Red Sea, the one that spoke these very worlds into existence. We've mentioned that in many times past. You understand the omnipotence of God. Now, I was talking to Brother Gary Geist, I think it was last Sunday, or maybe the Sunday before last, but he, in conversation, made an excellent point. He said he was looking out of his van one day and he saw how this raven was eating some berries or something along those lines. And he thought it just wonderful and thought it displayed the power of God and how God was able to take care of that raven. And then the thought occurred to him that, you know, God's not doing it just for that raven or that bird. He's doing it for all of the birds. He's doing it for all of the ravens. That's a very powerful God that we serve that is able to provide for his creation in such a way as that and chooses to provide and chooses to care for his creation. And we ought to be rejoicing that we're more than the lilies of the field and the ravens of the sky. We're his elect. We're the people in which he delights in. That ought to bring us great hope and consolation in this life. But there is a God that's sitting in the heavens right now, and he does according to his pleasure and according to his will. And the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? The one that we mentioned last week in the book of Joshua, where he said, I will drive out nations from before you. Oh, isn't that a powerful God today? That's one that you can rejoice in today, one that will not let you down. Man, including this man before you, I'll let you down. You give me enough time, I'll let you down. But God never will. He is a faithful and an omnipotent God, one that we're told his arm is not shortened, that it cannot save. You know, we often sing that song here at Fort Wayne, How Great Thou Art. Are you just singing that song because it's something Primitive Baptists have sung for 100 years? Or do you believe the words you're singing? How great thou art. Or even this morning, we sing, Great is thy faithfulness. What a faithful and an omnipotent God we serve. And because of his faithfulness and his omnipotence, we have a guaranteed promise. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. But you know, it's a promise that's not just guaranteed, it's a promise with limitation too, isn't it? There is a limitation to this. You say, well, Brother Nathan, you just said God was omnipotent. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. How can there be a limit on this? Well, notice the words. As thy days, doesn't say desires. Doesn't say as you wish or as you want things to happen, as your days. What you're actually facing, what you're actually going through at that time, then and only then will you have strength of God to meet that demand of life. It's not as thy desires, but it's as thy days, so shall thy strength be. You say, I just wish I had the strength of so-and-so. If I had their strength, I would be able to do great and wonderful things in this life. Dear friends, that's not the promise of God. You leave the great and the wonderful things to God. And I'll guarantee you, when he gives you strength, you will look back, though, and you will probably say, I have no idea how that happened, but certainly it was through the strength of God, and he's done great and wonderful things in my life. You leave those things to him, and you worry about the task at hand and the day that you're facing. I believe the promise of the Lord is something that would go similar to this. When your vessel runs dry, when you're at the bottom of your vessel, then will I fill it. Then will I fill it. That's the limitation that's on this promise. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. He doesn't say as thy week is, then will your strength be. That is W-E-E-K I'm talking about. It doesn't say as thy weeks or as thy months or as thy years. He says, as thy days. And I think that's because the Lord wants us to see our dependency on Him on a daily basis. On a daily basis. Every day we ought to see ourselves completely and wholly dependent on the Lord. You know, if He gave me a week's supply on Sunday, I'd say by Monday, at best Tuesday, I'd probably forget who gave me that strength. If He gave me a month's supply, it would be no different 2 or 3 days into the month. I'd forget that the Lord had blessed me with that strength, and I'd begin to think it was myself, or the same with a year. But no, He says, as thy days, on a daily basis, see your dependency on Him for the strength you need in this life. It's kind of like the manna that He gave the children in the wilderness. Remember that manna? It was something that they couldn't keep over for the next day, except the Sabbath. They were going to take an extra for that day. But on the other days of the week, they could take all they wanted to take, but it wasn't going to keep for the next day. Why is that? Because He wanted those children to know as they wandered through that wilderness that they were completely dependent upon Him. He wanted them to wake up every morning expecting that God would deliver them, that He would send forth manna, not that mother or grandmother or somebody else gathered in extra the day before. He was making sure they understood it's by Me that you're sustained on a daily basis. And on top of that, dare I say, dear friends, this morning, that it's best if we live one day at a time. It really is best if we take one day at a time. As we've already mentioned, there are many troubles and trials that come to the children of God. And Christ said, sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. You know what Christ is saying there is you have enough troubles to keep you busy today. You've got enough to worry about today. Don't take next week's trouble, next month's trouble, next year's trouble, and put them on today. Just get through today. Sufficient for the day is evil thereof. I'm guilty of that. I said I'm a professional weather complainer. I'm really just a professional complainer in life in general. I'm a professional worrier. And I sit around and I worry about the future. And I just wonder, and I just start to almost break out in a sweat sometimes thinking what the future might hold. You know, come January 1st, I can't tell you how many times in this last month I've worried about January 1st. Because January 1st, I get a new boss. And I've often thought, what in the world is this new boss going to have in store? I hope I get to keep my job. I pray I get to keep my job. I hope I've done some satisfactory work there to which he wouldn't get rid of me. But I've often wondered, what in the world is January 1st going to hold? But you know, I don't need to worry about that. I need to worry about July 7th or July 8th, whatever today's date is. I need to get through today first. And I'll worry about January 1 when January 1 gets there, hoping and trusting and knowing that the Lord will give me the strength to go whatever through I have to go through on that day. The Lord says, you're dependent on me on a daily basis. And you remember that, dear friends. There's enough trouble. Leave it for tomorrow. Worry about today. It's a promise, it's guaranteed, it's a promise with a limitation. It is a promise that is extensive, dear friends. Notice again the promise, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. It covers all types of days, doesn't it? It covers all types of days. There are days that are little days, and there are days that are big days in the journals of men. There are some days it doesn't feel like I need as much strength as I need on other days. I sit out on my back porch and I listen to the birds chirp and I read the Word of God and I sip some Mountain Dew or whatever the case may be, and it just seems like nothing could go wrong that day. Everything's just smooth sailing that day. But then there are other days it seems like everything's crashing in. It seems like nothing can go right. Well, dear friends, the Lord's given us strength for those days that seem like smooth sailing, and He's given us strength for those days when it seems like everything's crashing in on us. You remember Job's big day? Remember what Job went through in one day? Messenger after messenger came to him, telling him what he had lost, just one after another. I can't imagine that type of day. I pray to God I would never have to go through that big of a day that Job went through. Just one thing right after another, like the waves of the ocean crashing upon him. It was like David said, that deep calleth unto deep. Just one thing right after another hitting him. All thy billows and all thy waves have gone over me. How Job must have felt that day. Messenger after messenger. But then the last messenger came. He said, You've lost your family. They're gone. You've lost your houses. You've lost your cattle. You've lost your crops. You've lost everything. But now you've lost your family. I can't imagine what he went through. What a big day. But you know, as his day swelled up, Job was given the strength of God, I believe, that day. And as his day got worse and worse, I believe the strength from an omnipotent God got greater and greater. Until even after that last messenger, what he say? The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I can't imagine going through such a big day, but I take great comfort in knowing that if I'm ever called upon or ever made to suffer such a big day as that, the Lord will be with me, and He'll give me the strength that I need. It's an extensive promise that we have of the Lord. Whether, as I said, it's a smooth sailing day, or it's a day when it seems like Satan's just breathed his black breath all over the affairs of our lives. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. It's a varying promise as well. That's not to say that the promise itself changes, but what I mean to say by that is that the promise adapts itself to our circumstances of life, doesn't it? You say, Brother Nathan, you just don't understand this morning. You don't understand the problems that I'm facing. It seems like the tempests are beating against my door, and I just don't know how we're going to survive. As thy days, thy strength shall be. You say, Brother Nathan, you just don't understand. You get up and you preach a little while about the greatness of God and so forth, but you don't understand what I'm really facing in this life. We're facing poverty. We're facing bankruptcy. We don't know we may lose our jobs. We don't know how in the world things are going to work out. It just doesn't seem like there's going to be a way. You don't understand. Yes, I do. As thy days, thy strength shall be. You say, there's just been so much illness. There's just been one illness right after another. It seems like when we get past one illness, there's another one right on the tail of it. There's just no way that we're going to get past all this illness. Or maybe we're having deaths in families, and you say, it just seems like there's one death right after another. I'm losing everybody, dear Lord. I'm losing everybody. It just seems like friends and family, they're vanishing. You don't understand. Yeah? I do. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. It's a varying promise for the children of God. And dare I say this morning, dear friends, that it's a long promise of the Lord. It's a long, long promise. Whether you live a short life, most of us here have already gone up in years. Whether you lived a short life, or whether you get to 70 or 80 perhaps, or even past 80, doesn't matter. As long as you're living, doesn't matter the time frame. There's no expiration. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. This will be a promise that'll go with you in every day and in every avenue of life. Wherever you are, whatever you're facing, this promise will be with you. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. I believe even, dear friends, that it's a promise that'll outlive you. You say, Brother Nathan, what do you mean? How can this promise outlive me? Well, think about perhaps at your last day, when you've breathed your last and your heart's beat its last, the Lord's strength has gotten you through that moment. And then you close your eyes. The strength of the Lord remains. He's going to grab you by the hand and He's going to take you into that glory world. Or maybe you'll be alive and remain at the coming of the Lord, and you've had strength through that moment. And then you see the turmoil of the earth and how it's being melted with the fervent heat. And you're seeing the creation being divided into sheep and goats, and you're seeing all of this as you're rising to the clouds to meet the Lord. You've had the strength of the Lord until that moment, but then in that moment and past that moment, the strength of God remains. And it's that strength that'll carry you into heaven, saying, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I dare say this is a long, long promise. The strength of God will hold you in that glory world for eternity future, until you've sung and sung and sung, and you think, I can't sing anymore. You'll keep singing, and you'll have the strength of God in that place. It's a promise that is very long and will outlive you. And so we take from that this morning, hopefully some encouragement and comfort to face what we need to face in this life and to live the lives of discipleship that we need to live. You say, Brother Nathan, I just don't know if I can live the life that Christ would have me to live. I just don't know if my career, my families, my friends, I just don't know if my health itself will allow me to do it. Yes, it will. The Lord's never called you to do anything that you cannot do, and He's never asked you to do something that He won't help you do. We tried to establish that previously. But in whatever avenue of life, don't be afraid to run the heavenly race, knowing that the strength of God is with you. And that's true on an individual basis. And let me say this morning that I believe this is equally applicable to the church as a whole. You know, I look back at Fort Wayne's history, where I was just at in Tennessee. They had a longer history than Fort Wayne. They've been around 206 years at Testament Church. And it's only by the strength of God that they've made it 206 years. But dare I say, it's only by the strength of God that Fort Wayne's made it these 92 years. You look back at the trouble and the turmoil that Fort Wayne Church has maybe had in those 90 plus years. Maybe things have come about that we don't even know about. Things have come about that weren't put in church minutes and so forth. We have no idea what the church of old faced. But I guarantee you, they made it through it. We know they did because of the strength of the Lord. And we look back at maybe troubles and trials we've seen in our own lives, and we say to ourselves, I've said this, that this problem or that problem, it almost brought the church to its knees. Well, dear friends, we can have great confidence this morning in knowing that whatever we're called to face, we can go forward in this kingdom. We can go forward having the banner of Christ high and lifted up for His great cause, knowing doesn't matter. As thy days, thy strength shall be. I hope the Lord will continue to bless you as you meditate upon this, study upon it in the days ahead. And we'll stand and sing a hymn this morning.